thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steven Attleboro, what do you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I guess I've been off the map for a bit. I was down at Myrtle Beach golfing. I didn't read Tom Curran's article. Just curious about people that are questioning Belichick's decisions, personnel-wise. Do you think it has anything to do with the Hernandez situation? I know we don't like to talk about it much up here, but do you think that he's making room for other guys to come in that are more accepting to his coaching philosophy and the
they don't want They don't want to repeat Aaron Hernandez? I don't think that's it.
I mean, I don't think it's it either. They brought in, it's not apples to apples, but they brought in questionable characters after that.
Honestly, and I'm only half joking, I think they'd sign an axe murderer as long as he'd take a good contract and show up to work every day and keep his mouth shut and do what they tell him to do. And they'd forgive the axe murdering. You know, you got to axe murder, do it on your own time. Ignore the noise, keep your mouth shut, accept our contract, and stay in your lane. So, like, I don't think there's any Aaron Hernandez rub-off. I think there's become a thing where Tom Curran's story mentioned about 09, how Bill lost the locker room and too many players in that locker room, Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss, Sean Springs, et cetera, who didn't get it and went the other way, and Bill couldn't control the room, couldn't get him to play the way we want them to play, as he said famously to Tom Brady. And since then, Bill has overcorrected, and mostly it's worked. Except now you get to a stage where you say, well, how come Jamie Collins isn't here? How come Chandler Jones isn't here? How come Malcolm Butler didn't play? And has Bill taken it too far where he's got to like the guy and like working with the guy? And has he left some talented players to the side because of it? And did that cost you in that Super Bowl? And furthermore, is there anyone on the staff to tell him whether he's got the right idea or not, to someone to challenge him? And that's sort of the tenet of the tenor of Curran's column. And I think there's something to it. I mean, I think it's obvious. I mean, Bill's... he's sort of he's the emperor, and he's been down there 20 years. And are there enough people to bounce things off of? And is there anyone down there to say, Bill, no, that's not the right idea? Or someone to come up to Bill during that game in Minnesota and say, Bill, maybe we should give Butler a chance here? Like, is this really smart to have him on the sidelines the entire game? Was there anyone there to do it? Obviously not. We got Dan and Quincy joins us next. Hi, Dan. Daniel? I'll put you on hold. Maybe you want to tend to one of your palm trees. Chris in the car wants to weigh in on Maz's Giancarlo Stanton obsession. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I want to know if this is the Brady Anderson poster outlet, because I think this is where I can get a full-size wall, greased-up shot of Brady Anderson. Dude, you went off on that for like 7 minutes. Come on, it's unhealthy.
Chris, did you see these pictures?
I did.
I mean,
I agree with you. It's unbelievable.
Tell me you wouldn't want that guy hitting fourth in your lineup at Fenway Park. He checks all the boxes. He hits it a mile. He's young. He's a guy you could put on billboards and media guides and team yearbooks, all of it, and have his shirt off in the process. Shirt off, pants off is what I say.
Jesus.
Get a good look at that guy. He is Adonis, man. He is he's a god. Oh, do I love that player. Love him.
Tyler in New Hampshire. Hi.
Hi. I just want... first, wow. With all these people calling in, complaining about the Garoppolo trade and everything else, I've noticed that we didn't get these calls when they forced them to trade Garoppolo in the first place, which to me says that a lot of these people seem to be Tom Brady fans more than Patriots fans, because for me, I was mad at the fact that they forced the Garoppolo trade, because to me, that's more for Tommy and less about the Patriots. So where was the outcry when the owner said, you know, forget the team and I'm going to go with my boy Tom?
I'll tell you what happened. Garoppolo went 6-0 as a starter. That's the whole story. There's no pressure. There's no blowback. There's no story if Garoppolo goes out there and is just a guy. If he's just a guy, you didn't trade away the future. If he's just a guy, you didn't trade away anything special. And the second round pick actually makes sense for a guy who's a borderline iffy prospect. But he goes out there and looks like Joe Montana. And so that's what makes it a story. I'm telling you, with every win, the story ramped up. And now you have a whole offseason where he never lost. And there's going to be another 4 months until he loses, or 6 months, or 8 months. And this is why the story doesn't go away. He needs a losing spell for this thing to quiet down. That's what he needs.
He even won the coin toss for the draft pick on top of it, like all of it. And look, that was all over Twitter, so I'm joking about that. But the fact that he went out there and won, yes, Yes. I mean, see, I thought they had something here anyway. But then he goes out there and plays well, and then the Patriots lose the Super Bowl the way they lost it. And then you sort of look at the whole thing and say, you know, coaches are leaving and it feels unstable. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it feels that way. And you've got a 26-year-old out there. Looks like he's about to launch that franchise to
but
great
again,
things.
That's the key part, that second part, that he looks great.
Oh,
I mean, things could look a little messy here, but if Garoppolo sucks out in San Francisco, you're not sitting there saying, what did they do?
Sure.
It's the fact that he looks good. He looks really good. And secondarily, I would also say, as the news comes out of what other teams were willing to give you and how team after team has said they wouldn't even take our call. And even San Francisco said it was the window was closed until they called us. The day before the deadline, all of a sudden it's on. And we, you know, they wouldn't take our calls before. And Cleveland says they never took our call. And other teams say they never took our call. We were willing to get into the bidding. So that's what ramped it up for me. You didn't maximize your asset, not even a long shot.
Oh, yeah. He blew the trade on top of it. I mean, you know, you can say organizationally they blew the decision, which is what I believe. But then once you make that decision, hit on the trade, and they blew the trade.
The return. The return is what will forever make me mad. That the Browns were like, please, please pick up, please pick up. We have two number one draft picks. No, nothing. Not interested.
And if there's a stronger personality in there next to Bill to say, Bill, we should shop this. Bill, what are we doing? You know, why don't we why don't you let me make a few calls for you? Let me just call around a little bit, see what else we can do. And even if you're dead set on sending to San Francisco, maybe we can up the price. Because I got Sashi Brown over here who's willing to give me his second first-round pick. I mean, so there was none of that, right? It was just Bill unilaterally. This is what I'm going to do, then here it is. Bing, bang, boom.
Oh, for sure. And again, look, on that one, I include ownership on that one, too. Because I don't understand how you could get to the point where you say we're going to be loyal to Brady, and then they trade Garoppolo, and you say, well, you didn't get enough for him. It's like, you know, and maybe that was part of Belichick's logic. Maybe he said, well, you're going to ask me to trade him, then you can't tell me I'm not getting enough. You know, it's one or the other. You can't hold my feet to the fire after the fact, too. Maybe it was. I just, man, the Malcolm Butler thing, like, how does somebody not say, Bill, can we try Butler for a couple of series? And how does Bill not come to that realization himself? But even the whole thing makes you wonder about the operation.
Scott in Boston. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you got?
My one question. Just, do you think that the league might be taking a different, or the ownership they might be thinking about with Ezekiel Elliott and these good running backs coming out here, and there's not too many guys that are pocket passers. Do you think that they might be looking at things, build an offensive line, build some running backs?
Yes, I think there are a lot of stupid teams out there, Scott, who will draft running backs high because they still think that matters. Yep. A lot of dumb, dumb teams, including Jerry Jones and the Cowboys and whoever takes this kid from Penn State. There's always going to be an idiot who's going to draft, take a top five pick on a running back.
Yeah, Jacksonville, they certainly regret taking Leonard Fournette last year, going all the way to the AFC Championship game. I'm sure the Panthers regret taking Christian McCaffrey first last year. That really hurt them. Let's see who else.
So I'm sorry, how many total playoff games did those teams win last year?
Well, let's see. Jacksonville upset Pittsburgh, nearly upset you, and almost went to the Super Bowl. Panthers are on the upswing, and McCaffrey obviously is helping.
Did not win a playoff game.
Nearly beat the Saints.
Did they even make a playoff game?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they lost it.
We'll continue to argue about this forever, but running backs matter. They do now matter in the league, Mike, because they're getting drafted first overall now, I think, four straight years.
Because they're stupid teams. There's dumb teams in the league. Again, tell me the last... And again, was Jacksonville winning because of Lawrence Fournette, or were they winning because their quarterback somehow started to play and started to complete balls and their defense was legit?
Well, okay, look, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but can't you argue that one led to the other? In other words, the fact that the Patriots had to load up to stop Fournette made Bortles a better passer?
I don't think they loaded up to stop Fournette.
I don't know. What about Patrick Chung on that touchdown pass? You don't think he was pinching in the middle of the field there on the play action?
I forget which play you're talking about.
The one to the tight end.
Oh, yeah, you got torched on that one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, that was the week before. That was Pittsburgh.
No, that was Jacksonville, I think.
Jacksonville in Pittsburgh.
No, Patrick Chung cheated on, I think it was Mercedes Lewis, and took on a play action play, pinched down to stop the run, and the tight end was wide open.
Okay, well, you're right. You're right about that. They also got Pittsburgh. So, yeah, Fournette was a piece to it. Did you have to spend, where was he drafted, like four overall?
Yeah.
He was four, yeah.
You have to use a fourth overall pick for that?
Look, I'm playing devil's advocate because I think you could find another running back later in the draft that could give you something close to what Fournette gave you.
No, there's going to be some dumb team. It's the Browns or the Jets. There's going to be some perennial loser dumb team that's going to take the running back and think that he's going to make the difference.
So you're not saying running backs are useless. You're just saying you can get them later.
Yeah.
He just thinks they're all the same. Everyone, they're all the same.
They're not totally useless. They're just mostly useless. So there's a little bit of value. But again, I mean, look, we talked about the franchise deadline day. And you just look at the franchise tags. And what are the highest paid positions and what are the lowest paid? You know, it's running backs towards the bottom. There's a reason the running back is toward the bottom. Again, quarterback, $21 million. Receiver, $14 million. Tight end, or these are transition tags. Same difference. It's the same scale. I'll just keep going. Offensive line, 12.5. Defensive end, 14. Defensive tackle, 11. Linebacker, 12. Cornerback, 13. Running back, 9. It's one of the lowest paid positions on the field.
So you know what's a real shame on that when you look at that whole list? What is the lowest position?
Well, kicker, punter.
Oh, well, other than specialists.
Safety.
Okay, on my list, it's tight end. Like, and I look at that and you say... No,
you're right, tight end.
I mean, like...
Oh, my God, I'd so much rather have a tight end than a running back. It's not even funny.
So if you're Gronk...
It's not even debatable.
You're sitting there saying, really? You're telling me just because of the position I play, I don't have value? Really? Like, to me, this thing is an indictment on this... That list is an indictment on the position, you know, the positional bias. Because Gronk affects games more than just about any player in the league who's not a quarterback.
It has only a couple wrong. And that is, again, the tight end is ranked below the running back. And again, Jimmy, you missed a couple of positions on your initial list. What's the running back franchise number, Miss?
The running back franchise number is 11.86.
Okay, so they have safety and tight end ranked behind running back. Those are the only two positions behind running back?
Same here, yeah.
They have that wrong. I would so much rather have a safety than a running back. I mean, it's like not even freaking close. Who can impact a game more and the difference between someone good at that position and just a guy at that position. That's the difference. An elite safety and just another guy is the Grand Canyon at safety.
See, I think safeties are brutally underpaid.
Oh, my God.
Not to get into that discussion.
But if you got a Cam Chancellor versus just another guy, that changes the entire defense. If you've got Leonard Fournette versus Brandon Bolden, how different are you really? Are you really, really that different? If your quarterback sucks, you suck. That's pretty much the way it goes.
I mean, you say Chancellor, Ed Reed. Like, you go through some of the defenses that had great safety play. Rodney Harrison with the Patriots.
A great safety versus an average one is the Grand Canyon. A great running back versus a mediocre running back? Tell me what your quarterback is, and I'll tell you if it makes any difference whatsoever. So, just because there are dumb teams who draft running backs does not mean the position is important, Murray. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you know, we're going to disagree about this until the end of time.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Not a big one, but, you know, it was a jumping off point for a bunch of things. So teams had until 4 o'clock today to franchise someone. Pats haven't done it in a couple of years since Gostkowski. In 2015, they haven't done it with a real player, a non-specialist, since 2012 with Wes Welker. I think they hate the thing now. And I don't blame them, because when you look at... usually when you're franchising a guy, it means you can't come to terms on a long-term deal. And with the Patriots, when you can't come to terms on a long-term deal, that usually means you're out. And they hate you. So when you just look at the list of guys they franchised over the years, I'll give you the complete list here in a second, it didn't end well for any of them. Kicker Adam Vinatieri in 02... But they signed him to a multi-year extension before. In 03, they franchised Tabucky Jones, traded him to New Orleans. In 05, they franchised Vinatieri again. He played under it, and then they shipped his ass out after 1 year on that tag in 05. That's when they got rid of him. In 07, they tagged Asante Samuel. He played under it. 1 year, gone. In 09, tagged Matt Cassel, traded him. 2010, tagged Vince Wilfork. Huge blow up with him. He almost held out. They reconciled. Still, he ended up moving on at the end of his career. 2011, guard Logan Mankins. We all know how that ended. He held out. 2012, Wes Welker played under the tag, which they hated. They shipped his ass out as soon as they had the chance after the year. So I think they're done with the franchise tag for anyone that really matters. I don't think it was ever in line. The only candidate on the face of it would have been Nate Solder, except he had a clause in his contract that prevented him from franchising him, right?
Smart.
And that got me thinking about Nate Solder in general, because I was not thinking about Nate Solder heading into the offseason, but it turns out He's one of the most important guys in this whole. He's one of the most important dominoes to fall. The Patriots have room. I don't know if they have a ton of room. I don't know what their dollar budget is. That's a more important number. But either way, I was not anticipating having to pay through the nose for Nate Solder. I was never even considering Nate Solder. I just thought he's getting on in years. He's sort of declining. He's receding. He's at the back end of his career. They can get him for cheap, and he'll be a fill-in option for the next couple of years as they draft a guy. No problem. I never gave it second thought until I read up and realized, nope, he's going to make over $10 million a year. That's the market for Nate Solder, over $10 million a year. The franchise number is 14. He's only 30. It's like he's 35. And he's still good, not great. And when you look across the league, according to Jeff Howe, in free agency, there's nothing better than Adrian Waddle or Cam Fleming in free agency. So there's no options in free agency. He might be the best free agent left tackle available on the market, which means he's going to get paid as a free agent.
Absolutely he is.
He's going to get paid as a free agent.
It's a great spot to be in if you're him.
You can't franchise him. And so if you don't want to be stuck with Adrian Waddle or Cam Fleming or a rookie, you have to pay him $10 million a year on probably a 2-, 3-, 4-year deal, which I was never anticipating. And I told you before, I hate the prospect of that because I want to spend that money somewhere else that's going to improve me. By signing Nate Solder to that contract, you're just getting yourself back to level. You're getting yourself back to where you were. You're not improving the team. You're just staying where you were. And you're paying all that money and taking all that money out of your budget. I want that money to go to Aqib Talib or Richard Sherman or someone who can get to the passer or something I can see on defense that really improves you, some speed at linebacker, or whatever the case may be. And I equated this. I tried to come up with a Colin Coward analogy because he likes his analogies, and I didn't come up with a bad one. It's
you,
like
you could have hit that pen first. You might have actually fleshed this out a little bit better.
We could have gone much further with it. But yeah. And that is a car repairs.
Little vape.
Don't you hate it every time you have to reach into your pocket to repair your car?
Sure.
Even something you understand, like brakes. Every time, and I lease car, my cars are always new, and then in a year or two into it, they're like, your brakes need to be replaced. I'm like, F you, man. The car's brand new. I'm not paying for these brakes. But you ultimately have to, because you need brakes, like you need left tackles. You end up paying through the nose for them, and you don't get anything out of it. All you get is to where you were the day before. No better. Your car goes no faster. It's no fancier. It's no cleaner. It's no sexier. It's no. You're exactly where you were the day before. You didn't even know you needed them.
You haven't added.
There's no wow factor to routine maintenance.
You haven't added. You know, rotate my tires. What? Why? No, they're fine. No, they need to be rotated. All right, there's $400 or whatever, and you're no better. That's what paying an offensive lineman's like to me. And I had no idea. I had no idea it would be like this for sold. So without him. Does it make any sense to bring back Tom Brady at 41 years old and give him a rookie left tackle or let Adrian Waddle at left tackle?
No, so the mistake isn't paying the guy now. The mistake is putting yourself in a spot where you had to pay him. That's the mistake. So I don't know what they're going to do. What's your solution here? Are you going to play Garcia there?
Then that was a rookie they drafted last year who had blood clots.
And lost 40 pounds.
Ay.
You have to pay Nate Solder. This is, to me, the most, outside of Gronkowski, the most important piece of business the Patriots have to deal with this offseason. Because, again, Tom Brady, 41. Without him, you're essentially one of the dregs of the league if he gets hurt. You have to pay him, even if he's just a little bit above average as a left tackle.
I mean, it is stunning when you think of the personnel decisions that they have made now in the last couple of years, whether it be the failure to insulate themselves at left tackle, whether it was bad luck at all in part or not because of the Garcia thing, the complete depletion of the linebacking core, now a hole at left corner on top of it, you know, maybe even this Gronk thing, depending on how that shakes out, like they didn't see that coming, and maybe it's a complete nonsense. So who knows? Maybe they'll be right on that one. But with the number of picks they traded away and you add it all up, they should not have this many holes with a 41-year-old quarterback.
And you know what? They're not going to be able to fill them. They're in a spot. They're going to have to reach into their pocket to pay for Rob Gronkowski. They're going to have to reach into their pocket to pay for Nate Solder. They're going to have to reach into their pocket and pay a little bit more than they want for Danny Amendola. And I'll just stop there.
But why all of
but hold on. That's a lot of money. And that just gets you back to where you were. That doesn't improve the team. Like, that's so. Like,
so you can probably forget about an Aqib Talib or a Richard Sherman. And I know that, you know.
I'm beginning to wonder about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess one of my questions is, how did it get to this point? And when I say that, I mean, how is it that all of a sudden Gronk looks at it and says, it's more important to me to get paid than it was before? or Danny Amendola say, I was willing to take all these deals, I'm not willing to do it anymore. Or Nate Solder to say, no, I'm not going to stay for the same amount, I want more. Why all of a sudden do they all do that?
Because last year sucked behind the scenes based on everything that you read.
See, so again,
it felt more like work.
See, I think like you do, Murray. I think the fact that there's something going on there that is leading guys to change their minds, and I don't know, maybe some of it comes from the quarterback too, on top of it, that the quarterback isn't willing to do it anymore. Why not? Like, you know,
I don't think that that's a stretch at all to say that. Are you kidding me? I have to continue to deal with this taskmaster who can't be questioned, who also just cost us a Super Bowl because he wouldn't put one of our better cornerbacks in the game in the second half. F this. It's time to get paid.
I mean, maybe they all get tired of it. Maybe they just all get tired of it. And they eventually reached the point and they said, no, wait a minute. You know, we've been to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. We've won 2 of them. We should have won the 3rd if you put Malcolm in the game. And maybe there is some sort of ripple effect from the way they handled the Malcolm Butler thing. Maybe the fact that they didn't pay Malcolm led some other guys on the team to say, what?
Well, let's just see how that, I mean, I think you're projecting a little bit.
I am. I'm totally projecting. I'm just saying that historically, they have been able to convince guys, greater good. Greater good. They've been able to sell guys on that. How come nobody's buying anymore?
We don't know that. You're projecting. All I'm telling you is whether they're buying or not, you're going to have to pay for Nate Solder. And Gronkowski, you're going to have to pay for. And I wonder what that's going to leave you. Especially the tackle. The tackle. You got to reach, you got to dig that deep for the tackle? Who's really not even that good? I mean, he's good. He ain't great. That's the one that really hurts to me.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.
Always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Assuming it's on that timeline, he will have a little bit of time to get ready before playoffs. Again, that's still a stretch away. I don't know how that'll all play out, where we'll end up. We got to get in first, obviously. We're obviously trending that way, and we expect to, but that's goal number one. And then when Charlie comes back, how important are the games versus how important is it he gets back in the lineup? How much time will he need? And those are questions that we'll try to get out in front of him until he comes back and he's ready. They're hard to answer.
Charlie McAvoy out 4 weeks with a sprained, did they say sprained, torn?
Sprained MCL.
Sprained MCL in the left knee. I think the Bruins dodged a bullet. I feared the worst. Again, when I see the video of him going into that wall, I think it could be either leg. I think it could be bad. And again, this is just in my head up until I heard the news today. ACL, PCL, shattered kneecap, blah, blah, blah. I thought it could have been bad. 4 weeks? 4 weeks from today is April 3rd. The playoffs begin April 10th or April 11th, depending on whether you start on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. If you start on Thursday, it's April 12th. So he comes back in a month. You got another full week, 8 days for him to get ready. There's 3 or 4 games in that stretch at the end of the regular season, as Cassidy just said. And ready to go. And I think MCLs are pretty straightforward. In my experience, that's the good ligament. That's the good one. You hear ACL, obviously we know that. See you later for a year. PCL, LCL, all those problematic. MCL, pretty straightforward. I've always thought they were 2 to 4 week injuries. And they put them at 4 weeks, which still gives you time. I think they dodged a bullet.
Yes, I'm not convinced yet. I mean, to me, it's closer to 4 to 6. And even then, what percentage does he come back at? Like, that's the part I look at. And say, fine, so he'll be able to play again. What percentage? Is he going to wear a brace? Like, all of that. To me, the fact that it's not ACL, I felt like if it were ACL, we would have found out right away. So to me, this is what I thought it was. And the fact that it's 4 weeks tells me it's on the more severe side versus the more mild side.
I'm with Mike on it. I never heard the word tear. It's just a sprain. It sucks that it happened. But again, of the scenario, I'm with you. They dodged a bullet. He'll be back. And, you know, even if he's not 100%, who really is at this point in the season?
We're also going to find out how true the Bruins are about their injury stuff, whether they dink around like the Red Sox or, you know, are they to be trusted? Do they underplay everything? Do they overplay everything? Do they just give it to you straight? They told us 2 weeks on Bergeron, we'll see. They told us 4 weeks on McAvoy, we'll see. We'll see. You know, if it were the Red Sox, you couldn't trust him further than you could throw him, for sure. And the Celtics also play around with their stuff. The Bruins, they feel like they've been pretty straightforward as it comes to their dissemination of information, but we'll see. We'll see if they dink around with this stuff like the other teams or not.
I'm willing to bet, well, again, I tend to be negative, I know. I'm willing to bet he's not going to be right until the start of next year.
Okay.
He'll play again. He'll play this year. I'm just telling you, I don't think he's going to be right.
Back to the phones. Dan and Stoneham on Danny Amendola and the Patriots. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Patriots moves this free with free agents this offseason. And You know, I don't see anything splashy happening this year. And, you know, Amendola might take another team-friendly pay cut. You might get a Nate Solder back. But, you know, are you guys seeing anything, you know, like you talking to Tlaib? Are you guys seeing any of that really, really come into fruition, though, this year?
I'm dubious, Dan, because I think they have to pay too much to keep their own guys. I mean, isn't priority one to keep Rob Gronkowski?
Yes.
And then isn't priority two your
Nate
left
Solder.
Tackle? Who, again, I don't want to think about. Like, my breaks. I don't want to spend any time on it. Never mind pay for it, but you have to do it. And that's going to cost you more than Gronkowski. Again, in new money, you have to give Gronkowski maybe $5 or $6 million in new money to make him happy. You have to give Solder 11 to 12. That's $17 million in real bucks right there. And F the cap. Like, the cap doesn't matter. You ever hear me say that a million times over? Don't even pay attention to that crap.
So, look, I'm going to see how this thing all plays out, but it feels to me like more guys down there want to get paid now. Feels to me like more guys want to get paid. And I don't know if this is a new phenomenon either. Like, a second ago, you said to me, how do you know? Chandler Jones, did he want to get paid? He's gone. Jamie Collins, gone. Butler, he's going. Like, those guys wanted to get paid. So, like, I just, you know, it's hard to know. But it feels like it's trended that way.
Dan and Quincy, are you there?
Yeah, I had the mute button on.
It's okay, buddy. It's all right.
I forgot to take it off, you know. Tony, you wonder why this is happening? You asked the question. Because they lost the game instead of winning it. That's why. The players are like fair-weather fans. They're all pouty little babies. You guys are taking the sides of the players. And what CEO, captain, or any head of a show, Felger, you run your show. You like to be told what to do?
I get told what to do constantly.
No, I'm talking about between the three of you. You set the agenda on your show. You run it by your colleagues, but you run the show, right?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes, Danny. I'm that's right. You got it right.
I captain a ship. Nobody's telling me what to do. That includes the owner. If I think it's unsafe to do something on a ship or a boat or whatever it may be, guess what? I ain't doing it. And I'll tell the owner to go shove it where it doesn't shine. Okay? I don't care about the paycheck. That's Belichick. This is all happening because they lost the game.
It's a bad analogy.
It's not a bad analogy.
Because Jimmy Stewart comes in all the time and says, I don't think we should be doing this. And then we don't
still,
do it.
And you're still lamenting as to why you still don't think they got enough for Garoppolo.
Not even close.
Okay, the owner, Don Yee and Tom Brady, blew up his leverage. You give me the list of teams that called. Give me the list of teams and get an owner or a representative or a talk show host from those cities and you verify that. Because this is crap.
Oh, wait a minute. Now we need verification, Danny? Since when are we about verification on stuff like that?
And Tony, you keep running the narrative that it was only because of Malcolm Butler they lost the game. Nick Foles was a backup quarterback. I was told by you that, and all three of you, not you, Tony, because you changed your tune the Friday before the game.
No, I didn't change my tune.
Did. I told you the defense was suspect all season long, and you blow me off with that crap you're giving me now, and you want to be a hero about picking Philly.
Danny, I don't want to be a hero. I thought Philly's offense was legit and that they had good skilled people and there were a lot of guys to cover.
Danny
I felt that way from the beginning.
He goes backwards too often.
I don't think we should take Danny's call anymore.
And look, the last time the Patriots lost a Super Bowl before this one in 2011, I don't remember having the same feelings in the offseason. I remember looking at the team on defense and saying they need bodies, and you know what they did? They drafted Chandler Jones. They drafted Dont'a Hightower. The next year, they drafted Jamie Collins. The year after that, they used their first-round pick on Dominic Easley. So they went out and drafted guys on defense. It was a process, but I didn't feel the way I did now, like that there was dissension and that there were people intent on making a point and that there were people intent on getting paid. I just felt like they had a talent shortage and they had to go out and get it. I feel totally differently now.
Okay. So, but to Danny's point about what the Garoppolo market was, Sashi Brown, the former GM in Cleveland, has come out on the record, said, we wanted to get involved. We called them, meaning the Patriots, the Friday before the Tuesday deadline, and they wouldn't even take our call. He says, we would have been willing to give up our second first-round pick. It was Houston's first-round pick. Houston at the time was 3-4. They had Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and so...
He got hurt the next week.
Okay, so there's no way to predict that, but you don't need to be able to predict that.
It's still a first-round pick.
It's a first-round pick versus a second-round pick. How high can a first-round pick be, Maz? One overall. How high can a second-round pick be?
33.
So what's more valuable?
The first rounder.
So, like this one you hear all the time from the Patriots toadies of the world. Well, they didn't know it was going to be number 4. Of course. But they knew it was going to be higher than 32.
It was a first. What? Let me think about this because I'm not.
Even I can do that math.
What's a better? What's going to be a better pick? A first rounder or a second rounder? Let me think.
First.
You moron. Of course. I mean, it's just so dis. But it's what the Patriots toady has to do.
No, the value, too. And you know that they don't want to spend that money on a first round pick.
It's what the Patriots toady has to do. Well, they didn't know it was going to be the fourth overall pick. No, they didn't. They knew it was going to be no worse than 32.
The average first round pick would be 16. The average second round pick would be 48. 16 is better.
But the Patriots nut scrubber can't say that, right? They can't say that because they got it.
They're too busy scrubbing the nuts.
They're too busy washing the undercarriage of Bill Belichick. They can't wrap their head around the fact that he blew it as bad as he blew it. Period. Story over. If a team's offering you a first round pick versus another team offering you a second round pick, I don't care where they are in the standings. The first round pick, I think, is going to be better. I think, but I don't know.
Felga, I think the plan was to trade Garoppolo to San Francisco so Brady couldn't go there.
So Sashi Brown, the former GM agent in Cleveland, is on record as saying, we were willing to offer that second pick. They wouldn't even pick up the phone. The Niners have said, on the record, multiple times, they wouldn't even talk to us until they just called us out of the blue the day before the deadline. The window was closed. National reporters who I don't really have a dog in the fight, Jay Glazer, others have said to us, this is the way the Patriots do business. They don't market there. They don't call around. They purposely didn't call around because it's what they do. There were other teams who wanted to get involved, but they weren't allowed to. And there's, Danny, you can believe that or not, but that's what I believe. And the Browns thing, you can't deny. They're on record as saying it.
You had the most marketable commodity in the game. And that has never changed in the NFL for decades. You had the most marketable commodity in the game. You had what you believe to be a franchise-caliber quarterback. You had it, and you traded it for a second-round pick.
You didn't even market it. You didn't call around. You didn't maximize the asset, period. You didn't maximize it. Dakota in Braintree wants to talk Celtics. Go ahead, Dakota. What do you got?
Yeah, thank God. First of all, I'm still not over the Houston Rocket loss because – Al Horford decides not to show up, but when he goes to Chicago, and I believe hometown Chicago, and every time he goes to Chicago, he plays like All-Star Al, that he couldn't come to it, okay?
He's so Dominican, isn't he from the Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has roots to Chicago for some reason. There's something, his sister lives there, something's in Chicago, where every time he goes to Chicago, and look at the playoff games, he was much better in Chicago during the playoffs last year than he was this year at home. Huh. Anyways, as for Greg Monroe, Jimmy, I know that you're against this guy. Now, the first few games when he was trying to get himself acclimated, he looked like dog poo-poo, okay? But after seeing him actually start to understand this offense and the space that he creates underneath the boards, he is a really good fit. And his minutes are going to go up. And I'm looking on him on the court sometimes thinking that Greg Monroe would be better on the court than Al Horford. So I don't know if that says more about Greg Monroe or bad about Al Horford, but we start to come around. Just Greg Monroe, he's going to be something.
Okay, Monroe.
Yeah, the guy who he was playing offense against, I think Felger was heavier than he was. I mean, total mismatch, total lightweight.
You're talking about Capella?
In Houston on Saturday night. But he played well.
Who are you talking about, Capella?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about now. Fat Felger might have been heavier than that guy.
The round mound.
I don't know about current Felger. Current Felger eats a lot of healthy food.
If Greg Monroe's a better option than Al Horford, you are porked. It's over.
Capital P.
Capital P, it's over.
See, I think against,
no shot.
I think against some teams, Monroe is going to be a better option.
Then you suck. Then Al Horford sucks.
Then we're not going to the finals.
Greg Monroe's been on 5 teams in 2 years or something like this? And again, I've told you, I've liked the player. He's a throwback kind of player. I enjoy watching him play.
He's a better post player than Horford.
Of course.
So against some teams, he'll be a better matchup.
Yes. He's one of the best post players in the league.
Yes.
How many players in the league play in the post?
Not many.
Like 4.
Right. Yes. How many teams even care about defending the post?
Exactly.
Okay. Including your team.
But I'm telling you that a team like Houston, that's where they're vulnerable. And so in a game like that, Monroe's more valuable than Horford is. That's what I'm telling you. Just my 2 cents.
Yeah, against Cleveland and Tristan Thompson or someone inside?
Horford.
No, not even close.
Yes, Horford. So,
what is Toronto? Ibaka?
Yeah, and Valanciunas. So, to me, that feels like more of a, well, either or, really, but a Horford game. Most of them are going to be Horford.
I like Greg Monroe. I've told you about Greg Monroe. If you're relying on Greg Monroe, you suck. That's just the fact.
Well, not to worry, though, because from what I understand on social media and some of the chirping I received, Al Horford's back after last night.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they played a lottery team.
They were up like 19-0 early.
God. Yeah, no, because it was the Bulls. Yeah, no. That was, I'm sure that was, but at one point, didn't they lead that game by 37 points?
I tapped out right before the half. I'm like, I can't do this.
It's disappointing. Like, we needed the show week. Content. We needed a scheduled loss.
That game was so one-sided, I thought I was watching the UConn women.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma!
We're gonna run him right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free
Nobody,
services.
Nobody, Murray.
Nobody beats Town Fair
no
Tire.
No one.
Oh, nope. Nobody.
So, Felger, had your best attempt at making a Colin Cowherd analogy
Mistake.
Today?
My fault. I'm sorry.
When it came to re-signing Nate Solder, I think you kind of worked it out.
No, I mean, I think it's a good analogy. I just think it's lame.
No, he just needed more drugs.
It's just lame.
Well, here we go.
Here's how I look at paying Nate Solder. I was trying to come up with a Colin Cowherd kind of analogy.
Yeah, something wacky.
Well, this is the best I could come up with.
You need Murray to bring the bong in next time.
Like when you need to come out of your pocket for car repairs. Don't you hate it?
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Don't you hate it? It's not.
I paid enough for this car. I got to pay $2,000 to get this thing fixed. What?
I'm paying for the car to begin with. It's not budgeted for, and you don't get anything out of it. It just maintains the status quo. So something you never even thought about, some Spetzer valve in there is for schnarled, and you've got to come out of your pocket for $1,700 grand just to get back to where you were. And you get nothing out of it.
There's no real improvement.
That's how I feel about paying an offensive lineman. Like, do I have to?
All right. Well, left tackle's a little different, don't you think?
A little, but not much. So now, I want to take that money and bring in Richard Sherman. I want to take that money and bring in Aqib Talib. I want to take that money and go sign something that's, a pass rusher. Something that's fancy, something that I can really see a tangible improvement on the team.
Yeah. Something on defense.
Well, maybe if you had a 27-year-old quarterback who could be mobile, but you have a 41-year-old quarterback, so you have to sign this guy.
So it's like, that to me is just sort of like a boring,
it ain't sexy.
It's a ton of money, and all it does is bring me back to status quo. I'm like,
Yeah, a Spetzer valve, not an actual part.
Spetzer.
If you said a serpentine belt, which could cost you $700 to $800.
Sure. What the hell's that?
I don't know. I know I've had to replace it before, but they give me the cost. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll pay it, because I'm an idiot.
Now let's meet the offense of the New England Patriots. Rob Gronkowski, Arizona, tight end. Nate Solder, Colorado, Spetzer valve. Let's go.
Maz got a little too worked up about a certain player's photo shoot today.
Oh, man, this was steamy.
Well, this was hot. And I know that Jackwagon Tony and Stoneham sitting there, yeah, Maz, do you really think Jeter was going to trade him to the Red Sox? Yeah, I do, Tony. I do. I think if they had made the bet offer, you would have gotten Adonis here, hitting cleanup instead of JD Man Boobs, who was jogging around the infield at his four-home run game. Take a good look at some of the video from that four-homer game with J.D. Martinez. Watch his breasts jiggle. Watch them. Jello breasts. Seriously. This guy, this is what the Red Sox needed, was this guy, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson in baseball form. Giancarlo Stanton ripped to the high heavens and hitting 800-foot homers at Fenway. This was the guy they needed. Tell me the Red Sox couldn't use a guy who's on the cover of Men's Health. With his six-pack abs, his bronze body, look at the man.
It's a little homoerotic, man. So
yeah.
I got to tell you.
Oh, my God, would you look at him?
He's in good shape. I'll give him that. He's even got what a friend of mine refers to as the CG abs. I can't say it on air. I'll tell you during the commercial break. But you know the V that goes
there? Sure,
in?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So there's a term that's
okay.
Hot in the streets.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he is godly. Look at him. Look at that body.
There he is putting on the Yankee uniform, too, Maz.
You know, I find that sexier than the actual NBA without the shirt, Murray, if you want to know the truth. Oh, my God, look at him. What a man. Seriously, you got to see the video of this photo shoot. This guy's off the charts, man. He looks like the Black Panther. He is just a bit like, woof, ripped. Absolutely ripped. And between Devers and J.D. Martinez, the Jiggle Jugs twins over there running around the bases. That'll be good.
Finally, in the final word today, Jimmy, help me out with this a little bit, because I know Tutcher and Rich announced the Crush the Crew contest today. And so what exactly is happening here?
So on Friday morning, 7 o'clock hour, Mike Riley is taking on all comers as far as a wrestling trivia contest goes. They're going to do Townie Jeopardy, only wrestling trivia.
All right, so you can tweet the video to try to enter at 98.
And doesn't a winner get something? Like, isn't there a
prize? He gets two tickets to the WWE show in March, March 30th, at the TD Garden.
And so, by the way, how come you're not involved in this trivia contest?
I was not asked.
And why is that?
Because I'm too good for it.
So tell the people what you told me. If you did this contest, what would happen?
Oh, it would be, kings going for peasants.
To use a Deontay Wilder. So kings don't fight you mean you would destroy everyone, that you would ruin the
competition? Yeah, it wouldn't be a competition.
If you did it, it wouldn't be a competition.
Exactly. I'd just destroy everyone.
So instead, what Jimmy did here today was cut a promo for Sarge, who is going to be involved with this thing on Friday morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is James Stewart. I am the one behind the three who is number one in the Boston sports media landscape. I'm not here to advocate for Felger, Maz, or Jim Murray. I am here to advocate for Mike Sarge Riley, because on Friday, on Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub, NBC Sports Boston, he is going to take on all comers at wrestling trivia. And nobody is going to be able to beat Sarge. Not Matt Taven, not Eddie Edwards, not Ilya the Greek, not the Malonis brothers, not Cody Rhodes, not the Young Bucks, not The Rock, not even Stone Cold Steve Austin. So come one, come all, Friday. Because beat Sarge if you can, survive if he lets you.
Bold, Jimmy. And the Malonis brothers, look out.
Yeah, who are the Malonis brothers?
I ran off a bunch of local wrestlers that I know.
I think they used to own a diner right down the street.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah, good Greek salad. Yeah.
Absolutely. You get some of that chicken lemon orzo soup.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.